for the introduction, Dr. Miller, and good morning, everybody. I see I have the coveted last spot for lunch, so the audience's focus can tend to waver, but I appreciate you sticking around for my presentation. Before I get into the nuts and bolts of the actual study, let me start by introducing the problem itself. Fungicides are commonly applied in northern climates in the fall for the control of snow molds. In areas that get significant snowfall during the winter, a lack of application of fungicides will lead to significant disease, as you can see in the picture here. These fungicides are applied in late fall, usually shortly prior to snow cover, and control then is expected to last until snowmelt in the spring. Unfortunately, this is complicated by large breaks in snow cover throughout the middle of the winter. This then brings up the question, how long do fungicides persist in a winter environment? When we're talking about snow mold diseases, as David presented in the last presentation, there are three major snow mold pathogens that we worry about. There's gray snow mold, which is caused by two different types of typhula fungi, and then there's also pink snow mold or Microdochium patch, which is caused by Microdochium nivale. In this instance, we're going to be more concerned with Microdochium nivale because of the breaks in snow cover. With typhula fungi, you need long durations of snow cover. When there's breaks in snow cover, you can still have Microdochium patch infection. So then how best to answer that question of how long fungicides persist in a winter environment? There's a couple factors that we can look at, and they're important in the study. One is the actual fungicide physical mode of action. So penetrant fungicides or contact fungicides can have an effect, or should have an effect, on the development of the disease. In our study, we're going to look at iperdione versus chlorothalonil. Iperdione is a penetrant fungicide, so it is locally absorbed into the plant, not systemically transported, but absorbed and locally held. This contrasts with chlorothalonil, which is a contact fungicide and sits only on the outside of the plant. It is not absorbed. This can have different effects on plant metabolism of the fungicides, on photodecomposition if it's outside the plant, or microbial degradation, again, if it's outside the plant. Another, in a winter environment, another aspect we can look at then is snow versus no snow. This is important then. Under snow-covered conditions, we would expect to see much less or no photodecomposition of the fungicides. And also under snow cover, the temperatures are much more moderated, usually staying in the range of -2 to 2 degrees Celsius throughout the winter, compared with the much lower and often fluctuating temperatures under no snow cover. So with those questions in mind then, we can develop our hypothesis and develop our objectives for the study itself. Our hypothesis then was that fungicides, regardless of the mode of action, will persist longer under snow cover than the absence of snow cover, mostly looking at the lack of photodecomposition under snow. Objective number one, then, is to estimate duration of Microdochium patch control using a bioassay technique. And what we mean by a bioassay technique is basically a fungicide application is made at a point in time. Then at time points following that, you take samplings, inoculate with your disease of interest, and see at what point in time disease starts to develop. And you can get an idea of when the fungicide control is beginning to break down. This is a simple and straightforward method for measuring disease control, but it's anecdotal. There's other things that go into disease control besides just looking at the length of control. Objective two then was to actually measure the fungicide concentration itself using enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay technology. And this is certainly a more direct method of measuring fungicide persistence in the environment. And then along with objective one, we could correlate the amount of disease developing with the actual fungicide concentration, and at some point develop then an effective fungicide concentration for snow mold control. Unfortunately, our results with objective two were inconsistent and variable from last year, so we're just going to focus on objective one for this study, the bioassay technique results. The materials and methods then, it is a split strip plot design. The study was done out at our research center on the west side of Madison, Wisconsin. The main plot is the absence or presence of snow cover, and the subplot then is our fungicide applications. We have non-treated control. Iperdione was applied as Chipco 26GT at the full label rate. Chlorothalonil was applied as Dacanol Weather Stick at the full label rate, and then those two fungicides were tank mixed and applied at the same time, both at the label rates. Then treatments 1 through 4 were kept under snow cover throughout the entire length of the project, and then treatments 5 through 8 were kept free of snow cover throughout the entire project. a schematic of the plot design. Each individual plot is 1.8 by 1.8 meters, and rep one is here. The top and bottom rows are kept under snow cover throughout the entire project. The middle two rows then were kept free of snow cover throughout the entire project. Rep one is the lower left eight treatments, rep two lower right, rep three upper left, and rep four upper right. Here's what the plot looks like in the middle of January. We keep the middle plots are shoveled free of snow. A tarp is put over the plots shortly before snowfall. So for the majority of the winter, the tarp is kept off of the non-snow covered plots, but to prevent any sort of ice buildup or snow that's difficult to get out of the grass, we put a tarp down shortly before snow cover or snowfall, shovel off the snow, and then remove the tarp. Then you have our snow covered plots on the left and right side of the study. So specifically in this study, the fungicide treatments were applied on December 6th, 2009, shortly before the first significant snowfall of the year. On December 7th, we had 14 inches of snow. Two 10 centimeter cores were taken from each plot. One core was taken into the lab for ELISA analysis. One was then taken into the growth chamber for inoculation. And again, I'm only going to focus on the inoculation in today's talk. Then again, the tarp was placed over the non-snow covered plots just prior to snowfall, then removed after the snow was removed. Subsequent samplings and analysis were then done weekly for 5 weeks. And then after that initial 5 week period, every other week until the final sampling was done on March 4th. So, The question arises: how do you sample in Wisconsin in the middle of January? And you get in scientific parlance, you get a big expensive drill with a 10 centimeter hole saw, and you drill into the frozen ground. Get a metal crowbar or tool and hammer until it comes out. For the snow covered plots, you crawl into the foxhole and remove the snow over that plot, drill and sample the core, and then cover it back up. So the method of inoculation then, the growth chamber was kept at a 12-hour photo period during the daylight hours, 12 degrees Celsius temperature during the nighttime hours. It was a 5 degrees Celsius temperature. The plugs were allowed to acclimate in the growth chamber for 24 hours prior to inoculation. And then inoculation was done by adding 2 milliliters of a microdocumnival solution to the center of the core. That solution was prepared by blending 4 petri dishes of microdocumnival isolates together that were incubated for 1 week. The container is then misted to increase the relative humidity and sealed with saran wrap to really keep that relative humidity at about 100%. Disease severity was then rated weekly for 4 weeks, so each sample date was rated weekly visually. Disease severity was rated visually for 4 weeks. And the data was then analyzed using repeated measures, ANOVA or PROC mixed in SAS, and sample dates were each analyzed separately. And Ellis means calculated for each date and treatment, and then pairwise tests were completed for each treatment. So each fungicide or non-treated or tank mixture were compared at each sample date. Just some visuals on the plants in the growth chamber. So there's 2 plots per Tupperware container. The pyranometer measures light inside the container and outside the container, and then we also measured relative humidity and temperature inside the container and outside the container. Here's the microdocumnival solution that was added to the center of each core. This is each 2 rows of Tupperware containers. This is an individual sampling date. The core on the right is a non-treated control. The core on the left is a treated core, and so that's microdocumnival or microdocumnium patch developing radially outward from the center of the core. This is about 3 weeks after the initial inoculation, and then the disease progresses oftentimes to the outside of the core by 4 weeks, and at 4 weeks then the cores were disposed. With that, I'll get into some of the results from year one. What I'm going to present will be the disease severity ratings at that 4 week level before we dispose of the cores. This is just the results from the cores taken from the iperdione no snow plots. On the y-axis is disease severity measured visually as percent disease, and then on the x-axis is days after that initial fungicide application. So the initial fungicide application was on December 6th, and then there were several sampling dates from that initial sampling. A couple points to note here is, unfortunately, our non-treated control is not as consistent as we would have hoped. We would expect that the non-treated control would be at a consistent level since we're inoculating the same way throughout the entire project. But we realized early on that we didn't have the humidity high enough to really get good disease development. So the first couple sampling dates were unfortunately a little bit low, and so we didn't get a consistent level there. The important point though here to note is that with the iperdione and the tank mixture of both fungicides, acceptable control starts to break down at about 30 days after the application. We designated 10% as the acceptable control level for most golf courses, and between 30 to 40 days is when we start to pass 10%, and the tank mixture itself does extend about out to 40 days after the application, but iperdione itself is only about 30 to 40 days. Looking at iperdione then under snow cover, we see a lot of the same. Protection starts to break down at about 30 days following the fungicide application. If we take the iperdione disease curves from the snow and no snow and compare them on the same graph, we can see very similar levels. So what this suggests is that snow or no snow does not have an impact on the actual length of control with iperdione. Turning to chlorothalonil under no snow, we see actually much of the same when we're looking at as when we were looking at iperdione. Protection starts to break down. It surpasses that 10% disease severity level at about 30 days. The tank mixture, chlorothalonil and iperdione together, does move out to about 40 days following application. We compare chlorothalonil under the snow with chlorothalonil outside of snow, and we also see that protection again surpasses that 10% level at about 30 days following the fungicide application. If we compare again the chlorothalonil from snow versus non-snow disease curves, we do see an interesting difference right about 30 days. Both of those treatments do surpass acceptable disease control at 30 days, but under no snow, we see a more rapid disease progression following that than we see under the snow-covered conditions. So what that might suggest is that the level of protection extends with chlorothalonil for a longer period of time when compared to the no snow. So there could be increased degradation of chlorothalonil, a contact fungicide, under a no snow condition. To summarize then, acceptable disease control does break down approximately 30 days following application. Neither fungicide mode of action or snow cover affect the duration of acceptable disease control, and a tank mixture did extend acceptable disease control 10 to 15 days and lower disease severity throughout the entire length of the study. For chlorothalonil, a longer residual control was seen under snow cover than the absence of snow cover, potentially suggesting that snow cover does affect the overall breakdown of chlorothalonil. That's something, again, we'd like to measure directly with that ELISA method. In conclusion then, acceptable control of Microdochium patch in a winter environment lasts about 30 to 40 days. This is despite different modes of action and despite vastly different environmental conditions under snow and under no snow. But this does not suggest that late snow mold fall applications are ineffective. It just suggests that the timing of fungicide application should be made when the diseases are most actively infecting, which is usually in late fall. This does suggest, though, that we will not still have control against new infection come late winter or early spring when we do get snow melt. Moving forward, we're going to repeat the study this winter, and we hope to correlate the disease severity ratings from the growth chamber with actual fungicide concentration analysis, which will provide a much clearer picture of what's actually happening to these fungicides in a winter environment. With that, several groups and individuals to acknowledge for their financial support and for their help on the study. And with that, I would like to thank you for your attention and your time, and I can open it up to any questions. Yes, ma'am.
Did you experience any rain events?
No.
Are you thinking of incorporating that?
Certainly rain would have an impact on the degradation of fungicides in a winter environment. And it's something we could incorporate, except it would be tough with some plots covered with snow and some plots having no snow cover. It'd be something we'd probably have to do in the laboratory, not out on the field. Yes, sir.
Does your results suggest any need to reapply if you have a melting event
So the question is, if the results suggest a need to reapply fungicides in the event of a melting, not necessarily, because in the field ratings were done as well, and no snow mold did develop in the field, even on those plots that were covered for the entire length of snow cover. So this does suggest, though, that we don't still have protection come late winter. So it could be a reason why we see snow mold break through, especially during periods of long snow melt back out in February or March or even April. Yes, sir.
How is percent disease severity estimated?
The question is, how is percent disease severity estimated? And it was a visual rating in the growth chamber.
Any further questions? Okay, let's
thank
the speaker.
Great, thank you.